Hallelujah. Jesus is great and he is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who just learned, yes, I lived in the land of India. And where we in America are the church of the amen, that means if I were to say amen, you would respond with a hearty.
Amen.
Yeah, but in India, it's the land of the hallelujah. And so I cannot get that out of my system. It's been ingrained in me. So therefore, I say it a lot. But I was wondering if maybe you get a little enculturated with me. And actually, instead of an amen, can you give me a hallelujah? Can we try that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They do one more thing, too, in India, which is their culture to do. But we can get a little enculturated ourselves and burn a few calories tonight after having that wonderful fountain of blessing over there called the chocolate fountain. Is that not wonderful? Can we just say, raise our hand, say hallelujah, Jesus, for that? And that's why I said, I looked at it and said, oh, there's a fountain of blessing that has visited us tonight. It is the chocolate. I think chocolate covered strawberries are like the best. And but I'll tell you what, a lot of work went into this evening and the different stations. And I think we just need to give all of those who are leadership, if you brought chocolate or nacho cheese, which I say thank you very much for that too, that's a blessing, as well as potatoes. Thank you. Can we just say thank you? And thank you to all of the men who took off their Friday night to come and serve us women. Can we give the men a great hand? Say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Saturday night, you know what? I travel. I get a little discombobulated. Yeah, forgive me, please, for being a little bit of off kilter there, a little discombobulated. But I trust my brain train would keep up with me, and you know, the caboose will catch up with the whole frontal cortex and the brain. Yes, I did have caffeine. It's all going to be good, really, I trust. Yeah, it is going to be all good. And can we just thank your leadership here for having kind of a little boisterous lady like me drive all the way 10 hours and then have me come and be your speaker as well as stay at a hotel tonight. Can we just say thank you so much? And like it or not, I'm going to be speaking tomorrow morning, too. So, you know, you can rate me on a scale from 1 to 10. That's fine. And post things on the internet, and that wouldn't be wonderful. And, you know, just let me know how well you think the Spirit of the Lord did instead of me. And you can come back and visit us tomorrow and see what Jesus has in store tomorrow here at this church as well. But I tell you what, I sometimes need, in the middle of the holidays, a little bit of empowerment. Like a celestial seasoning, shall we call it, because this is a lady's tea. Do you get the play on words there? Because celestial seasonings is a particular type of tea, yes. But this is also the time where we know where Jesus, we celebrate Jesus coming into this birth. Kind of heavenly, kind of celestial, isn't it? Yes. And so this is a celestial season, and I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes I need some empowerment. And I need a blessing around this time of the year. Can anybody else say hallelujah to that or raise your hand? Anyone? Yes. We just do because we're women and we get busy, don't we? We missed all of the season. So I'm glad you'll be here actually to have a moment of just to absorb and to see all that Jesus has for you. And I will tell you this, that there's a saying that goes, women are a lot like tea bags. You don't know how strong they are until you put them in some hot water. Right? So you have some hot water in life, some circumstances that are very trying. But you have some hot water. You don't know how strong you are till you go through sometimes those hot waters and those trying circumstances. Can I get a hallelujah to that? I've also heard this, that you can put several items and you can respond either way when you put them in hot water. You take an egg and an egg will get what? Hard. You can take potato and the potato will get what? Soft. And then you can either get hard or you can get soft through the circumstances in life, correct? But, or you can be like tea. And if tea is in there for some time, you know what? It changes the whole color of the pot. It has such an infusion of influence. So, Lord, let it be in my life. In my life, let it be that when I go through trials, when I go through testings, that I will be one going through them, that I'll come out much better, not bitter, not hard, not too soft, but I will be able to take what I've learned and be what? An influence to the world around me. Can somebody agree? Kind of wave your hand a little bit and say, yeah, that's me. It's almost like this. Do you know Esther in the Bible? We read about Queen Esther in the book of, oh, guessed it, Esther in the Bible. Her original name was Hadassah. And Hadassah, if you look up some original meanings of the word Hadassah, it means this, a fragrant flower from a myrtle tree. But do you know how perfume is made? Anyone? Petals from a flower have to be crushed, squeezed, bruised, broken. But that's not how it becomes perfume. It becomes perfume when an important ingredient is added to what has been crushed and broken. And that ingredient is oil. And when oil is added to what has been crushed, bruised, and broken, it becomes perfume. And how Esther's life, when she was young, she was an orphan girl, okay? So no father, no provision, no mother, no nurturing. She was adopted by her cousin Mordecai. Mordecai raised her, and then guess what? There was a man who came along, and you know what? They decided, you know what? We want you to be queen. They forced her to be queen, actually. It wasn't on her own volition where she's walking down there and saying, yeah, I want to be Miss America. No, it wasn't like that. She was forced to go into an environment that she did not choose, and she was forced to do that. And guess what? She married a man who had been married before. His name was King Xerxes, and she became queen. Now, you would think through all the hardships she went through and all the crushing that she went through, that maybe she had become like the egg, hard, potato, soft. But you know what? God raised her up, and I like to think God had a purpose in the pain. God does not waste your pain. Can I get a hallelujah, someone? God is not going to waste your pain. He is not going to waste your weight. God used the circumstance. He gave her a queenly anointing. He raised her up. She became queen. And because she came into power as God allowed her to, although she had her pain, God positioned her for a place of power. And her entire nation was saved because she was raised up and knew of a threat that was out there to destroy her people. And she saved an entire nation. And you know what? Tea is much like, I mean, who would have ever thought? You know what? You look at this leaf. See this leaf that is here? And dry the leaf out. And once the leaf is dried out, you know what? You just crumble it up in tiny little pieces. And after tiny little pieces, then you put it in this bag. And if you put it in a bag, you put a little staple on it with a little string. And then you put it in some hot water. And it becomes tea. Think about the process, right? But how often I can think, you know what, that's a very much analogy of some of our lives, because how many here can say, you know what, I've had very dry moments in life where I feel like the life has been sucked out of me. I feel completely drained. No moisture, especially this time of the year. Yeah, you got to have to extra that lotion and Bath and Body Works and get that all going on. But emotionally, physically, spiritually, we can feel dried up, can't we? And we can feel like we're just fragmented pieces. But you know what? How God can use those fragmented pieces. They can be transformed, just like Esther, just like Hadassah. They can be transformed into something beautiful. And you can become something influential, and you can what be an infusion of a strength, and God can anoint you to make a difference in this world. Does anybody agree with that tonight? Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to go to this PowerPoint that is right here. Pondering point is what I call them. So those of you who like to, you know, make notes, you don't have to these days. You can just take your phone up there and go, and there you go. You don't have to write things down anymore. Don't have to get a little, you know, get the fingers moving there. You can just take pictures. But your dry, broken, and fragmented pieces can be transformed with a God-appointed, empowered, celestial seasoning. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know? God said in Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I love the sound of that, especially in the dark times of my life. To know that when I feel like I am powerless and I am power and I just don't have, I don't think I can do this anymore. Has anybody ever thought that but me? I don't know if I can do that anymore. That God makes it available for us to have the Holy Spirit to empower us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons and the dates, but you will receive power, that God has given a special spirit to empower you. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. I tell you what, I believe, and I'm crazy enough to believe this, that during the time of the holidays, we commemorate, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. What time more than this time, this celestial seasoning time, is it that God wants to say, you know what, I want to empower my women. I want to empower my church. Because isn't that what Jesus came to do? To forgive us of our sins and to give us life, give us hope. Hallelujah. Is that not what he did? And he did it in such a dramatic way. You can talk of what you want about Assembly of God or Pentecostal things, but you know what? God's pretty dramatic. He is. For him to show up with a bunch of angels and with the men, you know, in the field called shepherds at night, and pow, a bunch of angels like going, woo, saying, fear not. And they're like, whoa. They were probably afraid. That's why they said, fear not. For I bring you good news of great joy. Great joy. Something we don't have sometimes anymore, do we? Joy. Joy, joy, joy. Lord, bring it back. At this time where we celebrate joy, bring it back. I know I had always thought of when I was younger, and I still, now that I am a little more seasoned, thought, wouldn't it be so fun? Wouldn't it be absolutely fun to have like an encounter like of a supernatural kind? Now, mind you, I've seen the Lord do the dramatic. I've seen Jesus open deaf ears. I've got a letter in my Bible about a tumor that was there in a lady and went to pre-op CT scan. And literally, the doctor's like, you don't need surgery. It's gone. Literally, a tumor here and a tumor there. Surgery canceled. Jesus be praised. Hallelujah. But when I was younger, I remember I thought, you know what? I think it'd be so cool for an angel to encounter me. To have like an encounter with an angel showing up, and wouldn't that just be awesome? That was like a secret desire of my heart that I had, thinking that would just be totally celestial and cool. So what did I do? I was in my home church in St. Charles, Missouri, a long, long time ago. And there was this long hallway that went to various different rooms. And I was the last one in the church. And I was the one to turn off all the lights and to leave. Isn't that fun? And so anyway, I was turning off all the lights and I was walking by that long hallway that went all the way out. I saw this glow coming from one of the rooms. And I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it. I'm going to have that encounter. Oh my goodness. My heart, you know, started like literally like going fast and pitter-pattering, and you know, now in my life I'm having heart palpitations, and you know, it's totally different thing than that. Some ladies know what I mean by that. Or it's me taking too much tea and caffeine and you know, going nuts. Or it might be me with my type A personality. Anyway, I was going down the aisle, I was going down the hallway towards this glow from this room. And I was so nervous. I wanted to see it, but I thought my heart was going to jump out of my chest. I was like, seriously, I was like this. Yes, I want to see it. And God, I want to encounter you. And like, but oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Oh, no. I don't know if I can do it. And really, I came to where I would turn around and like look into the room, and I didn't know if I could even do it. It was such a moment that I thought was so powerful that God, really, God, you're going to do this? And I had my eyes closed, and I went like this in the front of the room, and I was like, I opened it up, and it was the Coke machine. I was like, you're probably laughing hysterically up there. I had worked myself up for something. I was just like all worked up and all. And I bet you Laura was going, oh, dear, yes, that's my girl. That's my girl. Gotta love her. And I have yet to have that kind of, with the angels, the flapping wings and all of that. No, it didn't happen, but it did happen to Mary, of course, in the Bible, Luke 1:26. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and definitely appeared to her in a celestial season, of course, and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now I gotta tell you how beautiful that must have sounded in Mary's ears. Do you know, at this time period, if you would do some study, from the time of Malachi in the Old Testament to the time of the New Testament where we read Matthew, there was 400 years of silence. Yes, there was women in that time period, but there was silence. What I mean by that is there was no word from God. Back then, in the Old Testament, they relied on prophets and people to speak the words of God and to direct kings and for priests to hear from the Lord. And literally, 400 years, it was one of the darkest periods for the Israelites and the people of God because they did not hear from God at all. 400 years of darkness. Has anybody ever given you the silent treatment before? And you're like, are we not good yet? Are we, I mean, serious? Would you stop it already? Can we talk? Doesn't it just get under your skin a little bit? And it's just like, oh, I can't take this anymore. Don't give me the silent treatment. Can't take it. That was the way God was. But has anybody here ever experienced that for themselves? You can say, you know what? That's happened to me. I've had that moment where God seems silent. No activity. I can't hear from him at all. And you know, when I'm going through a dark period in my life, I could really use a word from the Lord. Can anybody hear? Yeah. There's something to be said about, you know, somebody just being with you in the dark, isn't there? Knowing that somebody understands, somebody sees. Now, the reasoning is not back in India is because things got thwarted a little bit in my plans. Yeah, tell God your plans. Yeah. So I was in India and serving there, got a disturbing phone call from my mom. Her name diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Now, it's hard to wrap around your mind a little bit. My dad had passed away from cancer, and then now my mom was diagnosed stage 4 cancer. And it's perplexing because here you are and you're seeing God do the miraculous, literally him. I mean, people who are demonized and you see Jesus setting them free. You see deaf ears opening. You know, you can see the miraculous hand of God and you know you pray for your own just as hard, if not harder. Hello? And the dichotomy of it all. It's a good thing I haven't stopped praying for people for miracles. I don't do the miracle. Jesus does that, but we definitely ask, and we definitely, as the Bible said, lay hands on the sick and watch what Jesus does. I ask because it's God's will to ask. I ask for my mom. For whatever reason, he chose to take her to be with him. I don't understand how all that works. I honestly don't. But I still know that God's a healing God today. I still know I have not given up, and I pray for people, and I've seen Jesus continue to heal people. Okay, but I tell you what, that was kind of a dark moment in my life where I went from pulpit to what? Pew. To care gift for my mom. It was another type of ministry that I chose to do. Very challenging because I wouldn't consider myself to be a caregiver at all. But I felt like it was the right thing to do at that time. And mind you, not only were things happening with my mom, okay, my dad had already passed, but other things in the family, and I won't be very detailed, but I would say there was a cycle of substance abuse that permeates and goes through in cycles, and things were completely fragmented. So when I talk about things falling to pieces and being fragmented, in my life, that was a very fragmented time. And things still are trying to get back to healthiness in my family. I'll just, you know what? We all have our issues. There is no family that is like, you know, the perfect. All of us have our stuff, okay? Good thing we have Jesus through the stuff, right? And anyway, so, and then mom passed away. Well, I was greatly overwhelmed because, you know what? Mom liked to, should we say, collect things. She was clean, but, you know, she's had this thing where she wanted to, you know, like buy things for a lot of people. If she knew somebody liked clowns, she'd buy clowns, but then she'd forget where she put the clowns, and she forgot to give the person that thing. And then, you know, she would like, if somebody else liked to, you know, do yarn work and, you know, make some quilts or whatever, oh, she'd get yarn for sister so-and-so. But then, you know, and then she'd forget, oh, I forgot that I got, and, you know, things, yeah. So mom kind of was a hoarder. And guess who is the job to, after she's passed? Yeah, I was completely overwhelmed, not only losing my mom and caring for her for several years, but literally looking at the house going, oh my goodness. What am I? So I went out to lunch with a friend of mine that we used to play church softball. She was on second base and I was on first. And there's something about the Lord just speaking and letting you know he's with you. And she said, oh, Renee, I love to organize. I love to throw things out. I love to do that kind of thing. Why don't I help you? I was like, are you saying, you have no idea. Jean, you have no idea. Would you want to come and see? She goes, yeah. So she came to the basement. She's like, wow. Kind of mountain wakes you wonder where you start, right? You know, for about a year, year and a half, once or twice a week, we used to get together. Afterwards, of course, all cleaned out, now everything sold, and, you know, and but she told me this, which really gave me hope that Jesus did see. I knew that, but sometimes you just need that little something. Anybody with me know what I'm talking about? And she's like, Renee, I'll tell you this. When we first met, the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. You need to help her. And she did. For about a year, year and a half. You know, sometimes we just need to know that God sees and that he is with us. And even in our darkest period of time, 400 years, seemed like God was silent. I tell you, in the midst of caregiving, in the midst of going through all of that and the cancer, sometimes you just wonder, God, am I doing something wrong? Is something wrong with me? Did I sin? Did I do this? What? And all this stuff's going. Anybody else normal and human in here that you have these things going around in your mind and your brain? Am I the only one? Then you can pray for me later. Okay, so. But God would say, the Lord is with you, Mary. And I believe that God says to us that he is with us. And it's all of a sudden like the prophetic word from Isaiah says, you know what? In the land of the shadow of darkness, a light has dawned. In the land of the shadow of darkness, a light has dawned. If anybody's going through darkness, God says in his word, after 400 years, you know what? It's enough. It's time. It's time now for light and hope to dawn. God knows your dark seasons. And he knows when it's time to shed a light and to have something dawn in your life. Hallelujah. And can I just say to you ladies this evening, it's time. It was time at that time for the darkness to cease. And I want to say to you, it's time for your darkness to cease. Can somebody agree and say, I'll take that? Anybody want to take that? I'll take that. God knows all about your dark season, and with the Holy Spirit's help, a light will dawn. He says in his word, Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death or deep darkness, a light has dawned. I was just in India a couple months ago. I revisited then for Sunday to Sunday. It was a mass gospel campaign. I was with Caleb Wampler, another evangelist, and the lady who I adopted as my kind of adopted mother now, I call her Mama Jay. Anyway, she was able to go with me. How God, after 5 years, I was able to return. With the news that my mom was diagnosed, I was able to go back. God had redeemed the moment of darkness and given me an adopted mom. Same platform where I was supposed to go preach that morning when mom called. Same platform. I was there and I was like, Lord, I want to take back the ground. Everything the devil has taken, every bit of territory, every bit of illness, every bit of cancer, every bit of dysfunction in my family. Lord, redeem the moment right here. After 5 years, over 30,000 people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1,503 people made decisions for the Lord. I'm telling you, a light can dawn out of your darkness. Hallelujah. Come on, that is somebody shouting there. Get me to shouting. In January, going to reach out for another type of Indian, another type of tribe. The Menominee tribe. It's a Native American Indian. Anybody know about Native Americans in this culture, in this land here that we're at in South Dakota? 8,000 people in the tribe. Going to work with a pastor of a small church there to do a mass gospel campaign. It's dark there. Suicide rate is the top in Wisconsin. One opioid overdose a week. Darkness. I'm crazy enough to believe God's word. In the land of the shadow of darkness, a light can dawn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it's time for a season of shift, a seasonal shift. Out of darkness into the light. Can somebody say, yes, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm ready for something. In fact, when the prophet Isaiah was talking about a light has dawned, that people working in darkness have seen a great light, he was actually saying he saw like a vision of forlorn and weary wanderers. Okay, like the valley of shadow of death, it comes from the phrase, the same phrase in Psalm 23 and Job 3, the gloom of Sheol itself, that means hell. Anybody here going through personal hell? Yeah? A light dawned eventually. God wants a light to dawn in your light, in your life too. A light shines brightest in the darkness. Here's what the word of God says in John 1:5. Light shines in the darkness and darkness has not overcome it. It cannot overcome it. Did you hear that? The light is greater. The light of Jesus is greater. Isn't that good to know? And in Philippians it says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a crooked and deprived generation. Do you think this is a crooked and deprived generation? What are we supposed to do? Shine like stars. Can you get the picture of the analogy here? Do you ever see a bride coming down the center aisle at a wedding? Full of gloom, despair, agony. That's when she wants to what? Shine her what? Brightest? Right? And it's pictorial in the Bible that the church is what? The bride of Christ. The church, that's you and me. We're supposed to be the bride of Christ. That means we're supposed to be radiant. We're supposed to shine like stars. But sometimes, honestly, it doesn't feel like I'm shining. And I look around and I see other people and it just is like, oh, dear God, it doesn't look like we're that bride coming down the aisle and, you know, all in her radiant glory. But I do feel like that's what Jesus wants us to be. Hello? How many can say, I think this is maybe what Jesus wants us to be? The Bible says he's coming back for a glorious church. A glorious church. So Lord, let light dawn on every person that struggles with depression and anxiety in their darkness. Lord, let light dawn for every dysfunctional family that is going through stress and strains that should not be. Let light dawn. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah? The light shines, what? In the darkness. So Lord, let your light shine in our darkness as we what? Hold out the word of life. The word of life. I love actually what the scripture says. It says, when the angel did appear, it says, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will reign forever. His kingdom will never end. What a powerful declaration to Mary during this time. A powerful declaration. I love what scripture verse says here. A word spoken at the right time is like gold apples and silver settings. Okay, let's just transpose this a little bit as far as women. How many could stand to have a little more gold on your phalanges and a few more stones? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. I'm praising the Lord, but look. I'm joking. It's a joke. But seriously, a word in due season. A word, a special word from the Lord, or somebody give you a special word of wisdom at the right time. It is like we're putting diamonds or stones in a woman's necklace, bracelet, or fingers, phalanges. Yeah, but sometimes all we're doing is casting stones at other people, isn't it? Instead of like what I would call the bling bling. Think about it. We have powerful words to be spoken. And I know sometimes in our darkest moments, and depending on our temperaments or wherever we're at in life, sometimes we just want to go, ying, 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 ying. But I don't know about you, but I would want to be the bling bling to someone's life. You know? I was mentored when I was younger, and I am forever grateful. Lynn Willis was my mentor. She was a licensed minister when I was young. When I was a teenager, I was in the late teens, early 20s, somewhere around there, Sunday night church service some time ago. Yeah, back in the day. And I remember going up to her. I looked highly up to her. I really did. I respected her. I knew she was a licensed minister. And I was just, so I went up and just was chit-chatting with her before service, and she looked at me, and she said, Renee, how would you like it if we got together once a week and I would speak into your life? We could pray together. And just me and I would invest in you. I'm like, really? Duh. I mean, what young girl would want to miss that type of opportunity? And she did. She had three kids. One was like six, the other was like a toddler, and one was here. Eating goldfish in the nursery. That's where we met, actually, a couple times. What a sacrifice she made to speak words of life and say, you know what, because she did that, I am passionate about mentoring. I am passionate about that. And you know what? I choose to speak life and speak words of life into people because you know what? There's going to be others out there that are going to be throwing the slaps around. So I choose to what? Speak life into the atmosphere. It's kind of like Elizabeth did to Mary. Okay, Mary, all of a sudden, the angel, not like the Coke machine that had it, but the angel really appears to her and says, you know what, you're going to become pregnant with a baby, and he's going to reign forever, and his name is going to be Jesus. It's going to be powerful. And she's like, whoa, well, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a baby too. And she's like in her 6th month. Well, how great is that, women and women, to get together and say, oh my goodness, do you have peanut butter and pickle cravings? I mean, do you have, are you getting stretch marks too? I mean, what's going on with that, you know? I mean, do you eat bananas when you don't have to go to the bathroom? You know, all these type of things. For women to get together and to be able to connect on a heart level during times of darkness, when Elizabeth was way advanced in years and becoming pregnant, shamed a lot of her life, gone through her time of darkness, and Elizabeth there, and then Mary comes to visit. And what does happen? As soon as Mary greets Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumps and leaps. And Elizabeth says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Listen to these words. What if someone came to you that you loved, that you respected, that you looked up to? It might be a woman within this church. It might be a neighbor. It might be a relative. It might be a mother. It might be an aunt. I don't know. What if they would speak to say, blessed are you? you've told me you felt like the Lord spoke this into your life. And I say, blessed are you who has believed the word of the Lord. Don't you forget about that word. You keep on pressing through. Don't you ever falter. You keep going. Blessed are you, in a loud voice. Blessed are you which has believed the word of the Lord. Blessed is the child that you will bear. What would that do for you, for a lady that you respected, an elder, speak that into your life? Would that make all the difference in the world? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Speaking words of life, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You know, our words have power, don't they? We can speak words into the atmosphere, because you know what? God certainly did. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, we read what? The land was what? There was darkness hovering over the face of the deep, right? Darkness. And God said what? He spoke. He spoke a word and said, let there be light. And there was what? There was light. Light dawned on the darkness. Yeah? I will tell you this, Pastor Matt, in the Kashina Church where we're going in January and having that mass gospel campaign there, where I told you about the drug overdose and the suicide rate being the highest in Wisconsin. This is what he said. The police, when they go into some of these homes where there is like meth going on or whatever, they have to wear a mask. The police, over their face, because police have been known to enter into the house and the toxicity of the drugs are in the atmosphere, and it is so thick that the police can go in, inhale it, and drop dead because they inhaled it because it's in the atmosphere. And I thought, wow, that's really powerful. But then all of a sudden, my mind went to, oh my goodness, our words can be the same. We can have either a toxic tongue or we can have a life-giving lip. We can create a culture by what we communicate. When someone comes into your house, do they come in your house or in this church or wherever you go to church, if this isn't your church, when you walk in, is there an atmosphere? What type of atmosphere is there? Is it an atmosphere where people come in and like, you kill over and you die because the atmosphere has like just stench about it? Poor attitudes, you name it. Or is it life-giving speech? Because literally we can create a culture by what we communicate. And our words can go out into the atmosphere and be either toxic or they can be what? Life-giving. Elizabeth knew it was life-giving. God speaks and he speaks what? Life. Can somebody give a hallelujah? Yeah? All right. Let's have a question here. Is the seasoning of your speech celestial or diabolical? Think about it. Does your lip create a flat line or a leap? Let the power of your words be the paddles of life. Literally, when Mary walked in and greeted Elizabeth and Elizabeth's household, when it reached literally the greeting, just saying hello, what happened? The baby inside Elizabeth leaped into her womb. Oh, that we would have the very words of our mouth seasoned with the power of the Holy Spirit, that whenever we just say hello or greet or whatever, that it would cause people to what? Leap life. Yes. Lord, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. I will tell you this. In the beginning, listen to this. Remember, the serpent spoke to who? Eve. It was the serpent's word. Did God really say not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The word the serpent spoke. put doubt inside Eve's head. There was a shift inside of her thinking from a word that the serpent spoke to her. He made her doubt God's goodness and brought a season of what? Darkness. A season of what? Generational what? Sin. Sin. It started sin. Even the land was cursed because of what? A word. A word given to Eve. But I love the fact that we serve a redeeming God. And it says, you know what? You got into her head. So you know what? I'm going to switch things around a little bit. From now on, you know what? You're going to slither around on your stomach, serpent, and I'll tell you what. You went for her head, and you got into her head, but this is what I'm going to do. I will crush your head. You got into the head of one of my kids. Come on now. You got in the head of one of my kids, made them believe a lie. You're tripping them up in their head. And you know what? I am going to what? I'm going to see that your head is crushed because I'm going to raise up what your word did. Guess what? I am going to raise up another word. The serpent's word in the beginning incurred a long season of sin and darkness. But I tell you what did God do? He goes, I'm going to send another word. And it's what? Jesus, the word made what? Flesh. And he is going to what? Crush the serpent's head. Hallelujah. Therefore, when Jesus came and he was born in a manger, the word what? Became flesh. And he eliminates all darkness that came from one word. Hallelujah. And it was a time for a seasonal shift and change, eliminate all darkness, and offers divine empowerment for all seasons of life. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah? The word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and his divine power has given us everything we need. You've got the tools. He says his divine empowerment has given us everything, everything we need. Everything. But the devil speaks words into our head that make sure we don't have it. But you know what? God has given us the equipment. It's like a man going out and having a huge John Deere tractor, the best of the best and the most expensive. And he's going, yeah, I've got this big thing, but you know what? Let's operate it too. We have not used the tools that God has given us. He has given us everything we need. And we have the authority of the name of Jesus to say, no, devil, not today. And say, this is my fight song. Take back my, come on, youth. Get it, girl. Sing a little bit with me here, right? His divine power has given us what? Everything we need. Everything. It is the darkest before the dawn. And I will tell you this. Jesus goes to dark places. Jesus came to the house of Bethany to visit Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He loved them. He loved this family. Do you know they lived house of Bethany? Do you know what the original word is behind Bethany, one of the original definitions? House of depression. You look at Bethany in the original Greek, one of the definitions, house of depression. Jesus visited a house of depression. Why? Because he likes redeeming things and he goes to those dark places. Why? Because he wants to let a light dawn. Isn't that great to know? He said he visited it frequently. Jesus is able to do that, isn't he? And in fact, what happened? Lazarus died. And what did he do? Another type of darkness hit them. Good night. Not only depression, but also death. Both darkness. And Jesus did what? He raised Lazarus from the dead. A light has what? Dawn. Visiting a house. The Samaritan woman. Remember Jesus said he had to go through Samaria and visited this well in the middle of the day, which is the hottest part of the day that nobody really did. But, you know, this lady, Samaritan, wanted to avoid people because of her life of shame. She had been married to several men, and the man that she was with wasn't her husband. A life of sin, a life in shame. But what does Jesus do? He doesn't avoid those type of people like she's avoiding him. He goes after those type of people. Okay, he wants to go to the bars to me tonight. Is there any difference between the level of darkness and what Jesus won't do to rescue the one? Hello? And Jesus goes and says, hey, and reveals himself to her, changes her life. She goes out and she is like the evangelist to the entire people. Says, you got to meet Jesus. You got to meet this man. Think about this. This is beautiful. And I'll start to close here because I can't ramble. I got a time limit. Anyway, Mary Magdalene. The Bible says there was a lady named Mary Magdalene who had seven evil spirits in her. Seven evil spirits. And Jesus did what? He cast out the darkness in her. All of them gone. And here's the thing. Jesus died. He was put in a tomb. It says in the Bible that Mary went while it was still dark. Everybody say, while it was still dark. Mary went while it was still dark to the tomb. Why did she do that? Why did Mary do that? I can tell you probably why. Jesus came to her at her darkest season. That wasn't celestial. Or maybe it was. Because he was something heavenly that came in the midst of her dark season. And he delivered her from her darkness that she was going through. So you know what? She said, I'm going to go visit him at his darkest period. He's in a dark tomb. I'm going to go visit. He meant so much to me in delivering me from my darkness. I'm going to go. Mary went while it was still dark. She went to the tomb. But God loves to do a surprise celestial seasoning and do something empowering in the middle of a darkness. And she was there and all of a sudden realized he's not there. What happened to him? And she starts to cry. And all of a sudden, guess what? It wasn't a Coke in the middle of a Sunday school room moment. It was a real celestial heavenly moment where angels spoke and said, Mary, why are you crying? She's like, they've taken my Savior. They've taken the one who's given me light. They've taken the one who's taken my darkness away. They've taken him away. And what happens? There's a time maybe that she cried before when she was oppressed, even possessed. And she cried. God hears the cries of her heart. And here she is crying again, grieving in a state of grief, state of loss. But Jesus still shows up, even though he knows what's going on, even though that he's been raised from the dead. You know what? He is still motivated by the cry of a woman. He is still motivated by your cry. Whether you hold it in or whether you let it out. And you know what? He decides that I'm going to show up again. In the land of darkness, a light is dawn. And he calls and says, Mary. She recognizes that voice calling Mary. And guess what? She sees the Lord. She says, I have seen the Lord. Do you know Jesus delights in revealing himself to you in your darkest times? Giving you a new season in life? Why would one not want to receive all he has for you? Why not? I don't know about you, but I wanted a chocolate-covered strawberry. I wanted a chocolate-covered brine apple. I wanted a chocolate-covered banana. I was going to get a chocolate-covered pretzel. I'm like, I'm just going to blow it up. I'll take everything that is here to offer. I got the nachos and I got the potato. I got the punch. I'm getting the works. Why do people reject all that Jesus has to offer? Forgiveness, salvation, healing, deliverance, restoration, reconciliation. It's all for you. Why not let this season be a celestial season for you? Why not let him empower you and to give you hope, give you a future? How many can say, you know what? That's me, and I just need Jesus to show up in my life. Anybody here? Raise your hand. I just need Jesus.
Well, we're going to give opportunity. We're going to pray and just give opportunity for you to do that. Because I believe Jesus wants to come and dawn a new light on your life and empower you this season. And I'm going to say a prayer. We can all join together in prayer. And I think Natalie's going to come up and give us further instruction. But I just want to say, after we dismiss here and after I give the general prayer and she comes up and shares a little bit, I would be ecstatic to pray with anybody one-on-one for those who need prayer, for forgiveness. Jesus does that, but I can, you know, pray with you about that if you're healing, okay? For whatever you need, I'd be more than happy to pray with you after this service, because you know what? I believe it's time that the Lord wants to shine and reveal himself in your life, your body, your mind, your heart. Anybody agree? Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, if you could do something with me, if you could just open up your hands just like this, just saying you're an open, willing vessel for Jesus to move in your life. And let's pray. And as I pray, you can pray yourself, because Jesus hears the cry of your heart. You know, you can say, Jesus, I just feel like I'm done. Please visit me in my darkness. God hears that, and he is so good. So, Father, I ask in Jesus' name, I know, Lord, you want to reveal yourself in big, big ways. You did that, Lord, to the shepherds. You sent angels to say, hey, my man's here. I'm sending Jesus. He's going to blow your socks off. He's going to save. He's going to heal. He's going to deliver. And Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would open up each and every lady's heart tonight. Lord, that you would invade their darkness and their minds and their hearts and their families and their children and their grandchildren. Jesus, right now, come. Shine your light. Eradicate the darkness. Show forth your mighty work. Show forth your power, Lord God. Empower these ladies tonight in a huge way. Lord, I pray that they'd open up their hearts to receive all that you have for them, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would show these ladies visions. Lord, whatever would trip their trigger and thinking, wow, is God not powerful? Lord, do what would ever trip their trigger in a massive, enormous way to let them know you are real, you are here, you have heard their cry, they have not been ignored, and Lord, it's no more silent. Speak to their minds, speak to their hearts, bring freedom, Lord God, and Lord, thank you that you are dawning your light in their lives. Lord, we receive you, Jesus. Come into our lives, forgive us of all of our sins, be our Lord. Be our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that your light is still dawning today. And we declare in Jesus' name, this is a new season. A new season. Heavenly, celestial one. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Can we just thank the Lord for a new season? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Natalie, please come.